Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Over the last couple weeks, we've been working through a message series entitled Meaning No Matter What. And a few weeks ago, I introduced to you Viktor Frankl, who was a promising star in the world of 20th century European psychiatry until he was captured by the Nazis. They destroyed his works and they sent him to Auschwitz, that horrific concentration camp. And while he was there, he reflected on the horrors that he witnessed. And he wondered, how is it that we're surviving this? How is it that we're making it through this? How is it that some of us go on living and even have connections with other people? And after he was released and after the war, he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning, in which he reflects on what really matters when everything in life has been taken away. And he said, basically, we can discover meaning in life by, number one, creating a work or doing a deed. Number two, by experiencing something or encountering someone. And number three, by the attitude we take toward unavoidable suffering. And that everything can be taken from a person but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. So we've been going into the scriptures to test these ideas. Usually if something is true out there and it serves a lot of people and creates meaning, usually we can dig down into the scriptures and find, we can do a little excavating, if you will, and find that that idea is already there in the scriptures. So we're going to talk today, we're going to loop back next week and do one more on experiencing something or encountering someone, but today we're going to talk about the third idea, this idea that we can create meaning when we encounter suffering that's unavoidable. And this idea reminded me of a passage in the scriptures about transformation. It's not particularly about suffering so much as it is the process of transformation that we often go through when we encounter suffering. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, Jesus teaches, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." So there's this idea that something has to die in order to be born. How do you feel about that? Sounds kind of hard. Because we want to ask questions like, well, what about my life as I planned it? What about my life as I want it to be? What about my nice, neat expectations that are very reasonable for me to be successful and happy? Somebody said to me one time, you know, I had a dream that I was dreaming. And this person said, I woke up from the dream within the dream, but not the main dream. And I wonder if a lot of life could be lived that way, like layers of dreaming. Now I'm so comfortable in my life and I'm complacent that I go into kind of more of a fantasy that really there's nothing bad out there that can ever hurt me and I'll never suffer and maybe I won't even die one day. Maybe I'll just sort of avoid that unpleasantry. But the fact of the matter is that reality eventually breaks through those dreams and we wake up, sometimes in a startled kind of way, and reality hits. It might be adversity, addiction, loss, illness, tragedy in the lives of our kids, those that we love, coworkers, or parents, the loss of a parent, the loss of a friend, a two-year pandemic. The people in today in Ukraine are awake. They're very awake today. When the reality of suffering in the world hits, we have choices to make. Who are we going to be? Who are we going to be? And that is really what is inspiring a lot of people who are following the conflict in Ukraine, as a lot of Ukrainians are making bold statements about who they choose to be as human beings in this moment. That's a big story. And in very menial ways, we have to make these decisions on a daily basis. So I want to chunk this down a little bit. Let's look at smaller moments. Let's look at little moments and look at ways that we begin practicing transformation in the midst of unpleasantry so that when the big moments hit, we're ready. I originally had another story to illustrate this. It was a story about how I was in a car accident and how I really moved through it. And I felt pretty good overall about the way I moved through it. This week, though, provided new curriculum for me. So I thought I'd share from that curriculum instead. On Tuesday night, as I was working on this message, the lights in our house flickered during a windstorm. They paused, they flickered. I was typing at the kitchen table. You ever do that when the lights flicker? What's going to happen next? Oh, they came back on. Oh, then they went out and they didn't come back on. Long story short, about 2 miles down the street, something, probably a tree, snapped a pole. And that pole went down in the entire neighborhood, probably one-third to one-half of the metropolis of Iamsville, was dark. Everything around our house was dark. We got out the flashlights. We found things to do. We went to bed early. But I slept sort of with one eye open, if you will, metaphorically speaking. Around 3 a.m., I heard whirring and beeping of devices in the house. So I got up to see, was everything okay? I walked around the house. I turned off lights that we didn't want on in the middle of the night. I thought, I think I'll go check the well system. We're on a well. So I went down into the utility room, and I noticed that the breaker for the well was tripped. And I thought, oh no. So I walked over at 3:10 a.m. in the morning, and I flipped it. It flipped itself back off. I flipped it on. It flipped itself back off. Now, if you're on a well system, that's not good. To compound things, our HVAC system is geothermal, also runs off the well. So no well for us means no water, no water for bathrooms, also no heat. Thankfully, it was not terribly cold that night. And I thought, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I placed a call to the answering service so I'd be first in line in the morning for the repair folks. And then I remember that well pumps have switches, and they've gone out before, and they're not overly complicated. And I thought, I wonder if it's just a switch. So there in my pajamas at 3:30 a.m., I'm in the darkest, dankest, dead buggiest corner of the basement, disassembling the switch. It looked like it could be a little fried. So I thought, 6 o'clock, I'm at the big box store buying a new one. 8 o'clock, we're up and running again. Everything will be fine. Got the new switch, brought it home. And from there on, I hit a series of obstacles. And I won't bore you with those, but they include pipes breaking in my hand because they were corroded, switches not working correctly, me getting the wrong switch. And if you're a homeowner that does your own plumbing and electrical, you know, you just get to know whoever's working at Lowe's that day, because you're going to be back and forth 5 times. And that's the way it was. And I was getting frustrated. I was frustrated because I wanted to be fixed. I was, I didn't know when the repair people were going to call. And then I had an appointment that was scheduled, and I contacted that person. And I said, I've got an emergency. The person said, I'd still like to meet, but just let me know when. So I had lots of balls in the air, lots of moving pieces, if you will. But I knew I couldn't be waiting home for a repairman and at an appointment somewhere else. I didn't know how this was all going to work out. Now, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. Some people think I'm a patient person. I'm actually not. I'm terribly impatient. So I was not happy. By trip number 5 coming home from the big box store, I was in a bad place. And to compound things, I knew I would be preaching this sermon. I thought, thank you, God, for the opportunity to practice what I preach. Because I'm really angry right now, and I'm really frustrated. I thought, I have to get myself to a better place. Viktor Frankl says, to create meaning in the situation, I have to choose my attitude. And I thought, you know what, God? I don't want to choose my attitude right now. I wasn't doing a very good job of it, frankly. And so as I drove, I thought, well, I'm not doing a great job at shifting this attitude. However, I am having a big realization. It's an important one. There's a lot in life that I can't control. And this is one of those moments. I didn't make the wind blow down a tree to snap a pole. I, 24 hours earlier, had no idea that I'd be in my pajamas on the floor in the basement near the well water tank. There's a lot in life that is out of my control. And Dan Melton, I'm going to use my third person if you don't mind. It's my self-talk. You need to get your head around that. Life doesn't operate on your schedule, even though you think it does. It doesn't, and this is proof positive. So lesson learned. I was worried about this appointment. I was worried about disappointing that person. I was worried that I would be over here at the big box store and I'd get the call from the repair person and I'd have to be home and I wasn't, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, I don't know how this is all going to work out. So I'm driving home and I did, this is the other thing that happened. I got a little tough with myself. I said, Dan, here's what's going to happen next. You're going to stop worrying. You're going to stop fretting. I gave myself a talking to. You don't know how the technician thing is going to work out. You don't know how the appointment thing is going to work out. You're worried about disappointing people. You're worried that you're not going to be able to get your water and your heat up. You're worried that you got too late on the list for the repair person. You're going to go overnight without heat, et cetera, et cetera. So you're worried about all that and you're fretting about it. But Dan, here's what's going to happen next. In 1 hour, you're going to have the new switch installed correctly. It's going to work, and your problem is going to be solved. Moreover, that appointment is also going to work out one way or another in 1 hour. So no more glowering, no more grumbling, no more complaining. This is what happened next. I went home. I went down to the well tank. I installed the switch like a pro. There were no leaks. The wiring was solid. The well system spun up and was working in no time. The furnace started up without a hitch. I was able to call the repair people and say, take me off your list. Thank you very much. I'll call you next time. All is well here. And in the middle of all that, as I'm bending over in the corner wiring the switch, I got a text from the person with the appointment who said, I just remembered, I have a doctor's appointment this afternoon. Can we reschedule for Friday? In 1 hour, it all worked out. Once I let go of all the stuff brewing inside me, the whole ordeal shifted. I shifted. The stuff I let go of turned into determination, and that turned into a peaceful outcome. Somehow. I don't know how. I didn't make that person text me or have a doctor's appointment or any of that, but it happened. And even what I learned was even the seed of frustration can lead to transformation when it's planted, and it can grow something better. This ordeal I put in the major minor category. It's minor. Like in a day or two, everything's going to be fine. You're going to move on and you're going to forget about it. It's minor. But it's major in the sense that it's a showstopper in that moment. You know what I mean? Major, minor. A lot of us go through major, minor. Some of us go through minor, minor on a regular basis. Most of us do. And then some of us have major, major going on. The wisdom of Jesus' teaching is we're not in control. The seed doesn't control its velocity of descent. It doesn't control exactly where it lands. We're not in control. We have the opportunity to let go and trust. We have the opportunity to be transformed. And in that transformation, something else grows that's different, that's better, that's bigger, or that is lasting, or in the case of our own passing, that is eternal. This is life. This process to dying to life as we pretend it should be and waking up to life as it actually shows up doesn't just happen when we're hit by a car in times where there's drama or the well pump goes out or the car doesn't start. It happens every day in little ways. Again, the minor, minor, right? Who will you be? Whether it's the minor, minor, major, minor, or the major, major, who will you be in that moment? There are times in life where we are not going to be happy with our circumstances. Certainly, we've learned that over the last 2 years, right? The possibility, as we, not quite in Lent, getting there this next week, is that we're also prayerfully awake that the God we worship is a God of resurrection. Yes, there's a crucifixion, there's a death, but there's a resurrection and a new life. A new life. We let go of expectation in life. We buckle up for the ride. Something in us dies. I didn't want it to be that way. Something in us is born. This is the way it is, and I can find meaning here. That's the way it's going to be as we head toward Lent. We remember that Jesus Christ gave his life for the world. The ultimate sign of letting go is the cross. The ultimate sign of hope was the empty grave. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Almighty God, many of us in the room are dealing with things that have, circumstances that have dashed hopes and expectations all along that spectrum, minor, very, very minor and trivial, in some cases very major. We thank you, dear God, that you are the Lord over all, that you are with us throughout, that your Son, Jesus Christ, braved even death to show us that what passes away can be brought into resurrection and new life. And so we thank you, O God. We thank you for your presence with us today. As we prepare, as we head into the Lenten season next week, we pray that we might remember, as we are carrying around burdens from the last couple years, that you are a God of resurrection too. We thank you for that in the name of Christ. Amen.